Now we're going to hear from South Korea. Relations between North and South Korea are deteriorating. A debate is raging over whether to engage or confront the North. Until last year, South Korea had pursued a decade of engagement, but that approach, the Sunshine Policy, is being criticized and now dismantled. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul on the architect of the Sunshine Policy.
Asia's only presidential library is located down a small side street in Seoul. It's dedicated to South Korea's only Nobel Peace Prize winner.
A leader who melted the hatred between North and South Korea with the Sunshine Policy and held the first inter-Korean summit, Kim Dae-jung.
Former President Kim Dae-jung and his wife live in a house next to the library. He's a bit frail at 83, and he bears injuries resulting from 5 attempts on his life. But he's still in the news these days. He's defended his Sunshine Policy from criticism that it propped up a rogue regime in Pyongyang and allowed it to go nuclear.
The Sunshine Policy has been and still is supported by the majority of South Koreans in the whole world. It's the reason I won the Nobel Peace Prize. People are telling President Lee Myung-bak to return to the Sunshine Policy, but it isn't clear whether he will or not.
The current president, Lee Myung-bak, has made aid to North Korea conditional on giving up its nuclear weapons. Kim says that North Korea's provocations are aimed not at Seoul, but at reaching an accommodation with Washington.
North Korea wants to become a member of the international community. It wants to guarantee its security and develop its economy. If it does not achieve these aims, Pyongyang will have difficulty maintaining its legitimacy. So it may try a head-on collision with the U.S. It is gambling everything, as expressed in these recent nuclear and missile tests.
Kim Dae-jung has criticized Kim Jong-il's totalitarian rule. But he also says that in person, North Korea's leader is smarter and wittier than many give him credit for. He says Kim Jong-il is now absorbed with engineering a leadership transition, which is contributing to Pyongyang's aggressive behavior.
Kim Jong-il's health is apparently not stable. Before anything happens, he wants to secure and clarify matters and pass them on to his successor, hence all the threats and blackmailing.
Kim Dae-jung has recently spoken out in support of ongoing anti-government protests in South Korea following the suicide death of former President Noh Moo-hyun. He says the protesters are dissatisfied with the current government's policies towards North Korea and a growing wealth gap.
It's true that Korean democracy seems to be backpedaling. Some worry that our decade-old democracy may fail. I'm neither too optimistic nor too pessimistic about this. I feel a sense of crisis, but I believe our nation can firmly establish democracy and overcome anti-democracy forces.
Kim says his main task now is to speak out in public. He says at his age, it wouldn't be appropriate to play the role of godfather to the political opposition. Yang Sung-chul was ambassador to the U.S. during Kim's presidency. He notes that Kim's legacy is far more intact than previous South Korean presidents, many of whom were exiled or jailed on corruption charges.
In a way, Kim Dae-jung is the only one who has that kind of stature, knowledge, vision. Also, he has a clear vision on how to resolve the Korean question.
There were allegations in 2003 that Kim's government paid North Korea to hold the 2000 summit. But Kim says an independent investigation cleared him of those politically motivated charges. At the funeral of former President Noh Moo-hyun last month, Noh's family asked Kim to deliver a eulogy. But the current administration barred Kim from speaking, apparently worried that an elderly firebrand could still ignite a political blaze. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.